with Fit Insider, it was really, you know, we had built companies, sold companies, raised money, dealt with investors. And I kind of went on a roadshow for our last company and pitched 70 some investors. And I just didn't think any of them understood the industry. So my first step was, how do we communicate what's happening in the industry to change, to show the change that's happening so that people want to participate in it, whether it's investment or start companies otherwise. And that's where the newsletter started. It was covering the industry in a really fun way, showing what's happening. And I don't think anyone's really doing it. So then podcast came after that. And between the two, you know, first issue goes out to five friends. And then a couple months later, we have close to 5,000 people reading it organically. And we're like, oh man, this is something great. And because of that, the inbound of companies that wanted to be on the podcast, be featured in the newsletter, talk to us about advising or investing, just became absolutely insane, even back then.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. This is Roan, and today we're going to talk about fitness, or rather the future of fitness, the business of fitness, all of that, which is so, so interesting, given everything that's happened, especially post the pandemic. The fitness tech industry took off, and how we had actually covered this in a report that we wrote with our guest today, the fitness tech report, which we published at the end of 2020. And yeah, things have only gotten bigger and more interesting in the space, but also in other ways, things have changed. We've moved from everybody was so bullish about the idea of digital and connected fitness and devices and all these big, interesting machines that were taking an inordinate amount of space in your living room, to now some of these companies are not doing so well at all. And everybody's kind of interested in going back to gyms. And yeah, so many other things, the creator economy, personalized, the connected individual, all of these topics, I have to say, which I'm informed about by our guests' publications, the Fit Insider, which I think is far and away the leading newsletter in the fitness space. And I've got one of the founders, Anthony Venere, on our show today. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that intro, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, because like I said, I wasn't joking, and I'm not just blowing smoke. It is one of my favorite newsletters. And also because I know a little bit about the journey of the company, which is that you guys started, you and your brother, who co-founded Fit Insider, Anthony and Joe, they started basically as a, you started with a gym, and then you had essentially a local, shall we say, a location-based fitness and wellness platform, to now this newsletter, which talks about the business and the future of fitness. And you also invest in the fitness tech space. So we're going to cover all of that and more. But first, I want to talk about you and how you went through all these iterations and pivots. And also, given, I know, some pretty extraordinary circumstances that you've had to go through personally as well.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to chat through all of that.
Yeah, so why don't you kick us off? Like I said, we'd love to hear about you and your journey, what's taken you to where Fit Insider is today.
Yeah, can give you the long and short version of it. So we have, you know, Fit Insider is myself and my brother, Joe. We've been working on businesses together for the past now 12 years. So it's been a crazy journey to be working with your brother. We've co-founded a number of companies together, as you mentioned, and we actually got our start in like owning gyms on the ground. Actually, my first kind of, I guess, start of a business was training people in parks, in their homes, putting signs up in coffee shops and putting ads on Craigslist to train people. So really from the hustle side of it, getting started, it was, you know, fitness and wellness was a passion always for Joe and I. We grew up in Pennsylvania. We both played high school sports. It was kind of a big deal to play high school football around here. And, you know, I joined the Marines and Joe went to play football in college. So after that point, you know, he went on to be a well-educated, multiple degree teacher. And I, after getting out of the Marines, all I really knew and cared about with health was health and wellness. So that's when I got the crazy idea to start training people. And then that kind of transformed into opening our first gym. And at first, everyone thought I was crazy. And then shortly thereafter, Joe was crazy enough too to leave his teaching job and come run the gym with me.
Nice. So that's the first step. Before we move to anything else, sorry, just to clarify. So who's the elder between you and Joe?
Joe is the elder, but I've typically been the CEO of the company. So I could say I'm his boss.
That's important to say, because my next question, I wanted to ask, how many times and how close have you guys come to killing each other?
I always say, I don't know how people that aren't family work together, because running a company, founding a company, running a startup, whatever you're doing, it's really hard, and it really pushes the limitations of a relationship. And luckily we're brothers. We can't really go anywhere. We come from a close family. So, I would say not close to breaking up, but definitely, lots of arguments and, I would say wrestling matches, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I've, as a multiple startup founder myself, I guess, yeah, you're basically entering a relationship, which is like a partnership, call it a marriage, call it whatever you want to. But yeah, it gets tested, and it gets tested in a big way. All right. So you guys started from the gym. Eventually you pivoted into, I think it's called Fit City, and Fit City eventually became Fit Insider after you raised a bunch of rounds of funding. Is that correct?
Lots of stuff in between there. So we had the first gym. It was us opening up a kettlebell, CrossFit, strength conditioning gym. Then we opened up multiple versions of that. And then we actually created our own education program, our own training program, our own mini version of, I guess you would call, the affiliate like CrossFit has, and had our own line of equipment and started scaling that up. So between us owning gyms and these other gyms that we were opening up, that we were licensing and helping set up and kind of helping run, we had 40 some locations. So built a really big business really fast. But when I got out of the Marines and when Joe stopped teaching, my father had passed away when I was 20 going on 21 and Joe was 23 going on 24. And, we kind of put ourselves into the business. And after a few years, we had built this amazing business, but we were both burnt out and just, not enjoying life from kind of where we came and all the stuff we had to deal with. So we sold off the gyms and went to, this was at the time when the online side of stuff started showing, and it was, Facebook was picking up and you could run ads and SEO and all this fun stuff that I was getting really into. So that's when we decided to take our training and content online. So we, what now is a fitness creator that we've written about so many times, we were doing that back when you had to actually know how to build a website because you couldn't put one up with all these platforms or use Wix or Squarespace or anything else. So it was really cool to kind of move online, and I got so deep into the web development design and then kind of content marketing side. And that's when we built our second business, which was an online program and training and remote coaching, and it immediately took off. We had programs for kettlebell, body weight, strength and conditioning, and we found a really smart way to kind of game Google so that when you search for those things, or obstacle race training, or marathon training, we would come up in the top few results. And it just kind of boomed instantly into this really big business. So went into the online side, and it was a phenomenal business and it was fun, but it was what I would classify as a lifestyle business. There was, other than putting out more content and continuing to build our brands, there was nothing next. And Joe and I, neither of us really liked the spotlight. We didn't want to be fitness influencers. We didn't want to take our shirt off and talk about all of this stuff and host videos and podcasts. So after a couple of years, we said that, that's not the end of the journey for us. And then we went into another company, which was not fitness related. We created a local media company here in Pittsburgh. And it was, Pittsburgh is a growing city, and there's a lot of cities like Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Columbus, Detroit, kind of the Rust Belt side. And we said, we're from here, the city's changing, we want to highlight that. So we created a local company. And within a few months, there's a large kind of regional newspaper that acquired it. So that was really fun to build a company that wasn't fitness related and really got our chops on the media side. And that's what spun into Fit. So after that, we went right into originally called Fitsburg. That's why it has two T's. And that was, thinking There's a company called Eater. There's one called Thrillist. There's one called The Infatuation. It was, if you're in a city, these places would help you find bars and burgers and the best place to party. And we're like, well, we want to live healthy. So how do we make a healthy version of that? Where to run, bike, hike, workout, eat healthy. Started that in Pittsburgh. Changed from Pittsburgh because Cleveland was our next city. So I went to Cleveland, and it was Columbus and Boston and so on. And as we started to scale up, we changed the name to Fit. And that was the start of our last company, which was so much fun. It was on the ground content, connecting the local consumer, how to be healthy and live healthy on a local level.
I'm sure you've told that story a bunch of times, but yeah, it's always fun to hear how somebody got to where they are. I mean, also Pittsburgh could have become Fitland. I'm sure that came up in a bunch of conversations in Cleveland, but I think it's hard to progress from there. You can't have Fitago. I don't know. I'm sure you did. All right. So you've gone through this whole journey, and somehow we've landed on Fit Insider. And not to speed this up too much, but I know from Fit Insider, you've created this really powerful newsletter, which disseminates some really, I think, important information for what's happening in the industry. But the spin-off of even that is obviously that you guys became investors yourselves, right? So there's a bit of a Fit Insider, there's a Fit Insider fund, which is what we want to cover in some depth today. So talk to me through that. Like, when did you guys start investing in fitness solutions yourselves?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, can definitely speed it up. Sorry to run through all of the different details, but with Fit Insider, it was really, you know, we had built companies, sold companies, raised money, dealt with investors. And I kind of went on a roadshow for our last company and pitched 70 some investors. And I just didn't think any of them understood the industry. So my first step was, how do we communicate what's happening in the industry to change, to show the change that's happening so that people want to participate in it, whether it's investment or start companies otherwise. And that's where the newsletter started. It was covering the industry in a really fun way, showing what's happening. And I don't think anyone's really doing it. So then podcast came after that. And between the two, you know, first issue goes out to five friends. And then a couple months later, we have close to 5,000 people reading it organically. And we're like, oh man, this is something great. And because of that, the inbound of companies that wanted to be on the podcast, be featured in the newsletter, talk to us about advising or investing just became absolutely insane, even back then. And that's where, you know, like looking back on our podcast, our first episodes were Bruce from Hydro and Whoop when they were raising their seeds in Series A's. You know, now they're obviously in raised hundreds of millions of dollars and built these massive companies. So we were interviewing and talking and writing about those people way back then in 2019 before anyone was focused on it because of COVID. So all of that, Joe and I looked at each other and having had a few successful kind of exits, we said, we have the money. Why can't we be investors? I thought you had to go through this process and, you know, all the stuff, but then we kind of fell into this concept of angel investing. We're like, man, we want to help companies as well. So we started angel investing, and then that kind of led into now what is Fit Capital. And the Fit Fund is, after doing that for a while and then spending a ton of time, you know, whether it's diligencing deals or talking to funds or being kind of advisors to funds like Courtside Ventures, we really got to see that, you know, we have a unique opportunity and a unique skill set that these founders want, and we've built this really engaging platform. Why not start investing as well?
And just to go through some of the companies that you guys have invested in already, this is all from the on the website, is AnyDistance, Balanced, Obey Fitness, Future, Spot, Arena, SiloFit, June. Like, I mean, there's a lot of deals that you guys have already gone through. And I also find that super interesting because, I mean, minus the investment part, because we're nowhere close to there yet. But a lot of the early journey, I find a lot of parallels with what Sports Tech X has been trying to do, which is to make sense of what's happening in the sports tech space and try to bring the industry together, because yeah, we just felt that so much information was just sitting in pockets and not as transparent as it could be. But yeah, you guys have taken that to the next level, and also coincided wonderfully for y'all with the, as you said, pandemic kind of fueled growth of this business, which, I mean, you could say the business was growing or the industry was growing so fast anyway. It's just that the pandemic condensed what was happening maybe over 2-3 years into 6 months, right? Because of that, I'm sure there have been some companies that you find big success in that you've invested. Which are the ones that you like to talk about the most, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what it was. You know, we started this in 2019, and writing then, like I said, it was went from 5 to 5,000, and it was amazing over the course of the first few months in 2019. But then as things started to scale up and then obviously COVID hit, the attention was just unbelievable. The industry, the amount of people reading about it, it was the focus for a lot of different people on a daily basis because it was in the news. It was what they talked about. It was what they could do, whether it was being healthy, whether it was the fitness side, whether it was the wellness side. And it was really cool to see. And we were just honestly super lucky to be in the middle with this platform that came at the perfect time. But on the investment side, there's so many awesome ones to talk about. And we have a lot more that aren't on the site that we can't talk about yet that are coming, especially with the announcement of our new kind of fund. But can mention Any Distance. We just invested in them not too long ago. It started out as this workout sharing platform. It was just a kind of a side project that the founder built. And with that, it was his side project. And he said, I think I was like one of the first 25 downloads or something like that. We saw it for whatever reason. And I started using it. It was really engaging, and hit up and said, hey, are you going to do something with this? If you do, let me know. And then probably 6-8 months later, he said, hey, I want to make this a thing. And now it's building this, what I think of as a modern day, mix of Strava and Pokemon Go, where you can build and you could sync your workouts, share them, and have your kind of community profile like you do with Strava, where you can show people what you're doing, share them out, whether it's on that platform or others. And then as you track your workouts and track your goals, you have this, what I would call a digital trophy case. And it shows the workouts you've done, the challenges you've done, the types of that you've done. And then as it continues to scale, they have plans to do stuff with found items and AR and all kind of really fun things. And that was our bet on kind of the, I wouldn't say Web3, but the kind of modern version of fitness for this kind of newer consumer. So they're doing an awesome job. It's still at a pre-seed level, but an awesome team. And then, Balanced, Katie and Kelly are building fitness. They're calling it, and I think it would be best to say like a modern day Silver Sneakers. Phenomenal opportunity, massive audience, and just really bought into some amazing founders.
I love how organically the story kind of evolves. Is as you said, you use something, you like it, and then you reach out to a founder. And if you like the product, that's when you start investing. Rather than it's not all driven by, obviously it's important that where the company's headed. Is the market big enough? Is the team good enough? All of that. But it all starts from, do I really love the product? So I guess my immediate next question is what are you looking for when you start? Of course, the fitness and tech is growing in so many different areas. You talked about some things there. There's the AR side of things and in digital trophy cases and the AI-based solutions which are promoting you to do activity. There's a whole bunch of big conversation happening around the VR space. Facebook themselves are trying to lead it, or Meta, sorry, I should say, are trying to get involved in a big way. There's software, there's hardware, there's so much happening in terms of solutions. So how do you filter through all that noise? What are you looking for when you're selecting a startup that you want to invest in?
Yeah, it's kind of a fun approach, because every single week we go and we write a report of some kind. The newsletter, the deep dive in the newsletter takes a ton of research and a ton of kind of keeping your eyes open and seeing what's happening in the industry. So every single week for the past 100 and whatever, 70 weeks, we've done that. And we go out, and instead of a typical fund where you see companies and then you try to do your diligence, you try to research, and you maybe see this is something for us, we're going and writing about a space. And then once we write about a space, all the companies reach out to us and we get to connect with them, or we found them through research and then we get to connect with them after we publish it. So, we already have our idea around the market, the industry, the opportunity, the TAM, what's going to happen, who the competitors are, how much has been raised. And then it's just a matter of meeting the founders and checking out the product and spending the time to see if we can get excited about the team itself and what they're building. And, we have a few focus areas of high performance lifestyle, which is, sleep and recovery, mental wellness, health tracking and optimization. We have the unbundling the gym, which is social fitness, fitness creators, AI, computer vision, AR, VR, active lifestyle and recreation. And then we have personalized well-being, which is kind of at-home testing, individualized nutrition, having behavior change. And honestly, these are all topics that we've written about a number of times. So it's pretty much anything we've written about at scale, we will look at and have an interest in. And that's where we usually get a question, is fitness and wellness a big enough category to focus and invest on? And when you look at the broad industry of health, wellness, and fitness, it's unbelievably massive and such a big opportunity. And that's what we're dialed in on.
And I guess that research that you're doing up front, which is, I find such an interesting approach, that you're essentially validating a market for yourselves before looking at the companies. Like, you take a topic, you really dive deep into it, which is, again, I think the best part of the newsletter, because the variety of topics that you cover from on a week to week basis. It's also fitness and wellness, but very fitness and wellness adjacent as well. So you kind of validate that market for yourselves, or get your own thesis on it, and then you start looking at the companies, which I find super interesting. And I think that also helps validate your position as advisor to funds. You already mentioned Courtside, a team that we know very well, and guys are absolutely kicking ass in the sports tech space from an investment perspective. I can totally see how you guys keep that going. Speaking of how your role as an advisor, you touched on some of the, let's say, areas that you key focus on, or areas that you focus on primarily. But what next? As when you talk about fitness tech or the future of fitness, I mean, VR is now almost, I'd say. It's not so much in the future. So what trends or topics are you looking at with a bit of curiosity and saying, hey, I don't know how that one will pan out, but I'm curious to keep a track of it?
Yeah, definitely. And it for us, it's not as much, and I've said this on some other podcasts in the past, a lot of the things you're seeing now are just new forms and new form factors of older concepts, coaching and remote coaching and other things. And it hasn't changed that much. And that's great. There's a lot of new opportunities out there, and I think that's going to continue to scale. But what we're actually looking for right this second, I'm super into, which the newsletter that just went out on Tuesday was about the adventure tech stuff. So this active lifestyle, outdoor recreation, adventure, sports, those types of things that are what we think of massive as fitness. We think it fits right into our category, but it's this outside of the gym, outside of the home, whether it's products, services, platforms, one of my favorite areas. And it's funny, it's like, you know, everything from hiking and climbing to pickleball and running. Anything that the consumer is doing at that kind of this outdoor side, we're really interested in right now. And then another one that we're super excited about is both habit and behavior change, and then can individualize nutrition. So I think those are two areas that are the underlying need of most consumers when it comes to their health. Can they change their habits, their behavior? Can they be informed enough to make those decisions and do them the right way and stick to them, whether it's accountability as a service or kind of managed coaching or whatever it may be? How can they change those habits? And then the individualized nutrition is, we are just bombarded as consumers with, you know, keto and paleo and Atkins and all these different diets time after time and in different levels. And that doesn't work for everybody. A specific diet, a specific way to approach how they eat, what they do, and understand their body is very important. So we are trying to see who's going to be the next version of that, whether it's an app or a plan or a system or coaching like a Wellery or whatever it may be. That's a space that we're really looking into as well.
And there's so much so interesting about what's happening is, what is the input for personal nutrition, right? So there are companies that are either using your breath or actually taking swabs or DNA matching. Like, how do you define, how do I get to that personalization of an individual nutrition and then, you know, actually project the plan? So super, super topical. The other one I loved was the focus on essentially the outside. We've talked about this on our weekly show a few times about there's been so much investment, like outside media themselves have raised a lot of money. They launched this platform called the Outerverse. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, which they call the anti-metaverse. But yeah, there seems to be a real momentum building. All Trails did a big funding round not so long ago, but there seems to be a real momentum building in the adventure. What you talked about, hiking, outdoor kind of space, which will be really interesting to see.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Before before we move on to the last one, I can't let you go without getting your hot take on Peloton for a second. Yeah, the rise and fall of that company. I don't know about the fall. Maybe that's so dramatic right now, but of the connected fitness equipment, these large set pieces which come into homes. Because while Peloton is going through its own fluctuations, we've seen so many other companies continue to raise significant amounts of money. So where do you see that connected fitness equipment industry going? Is there still space top? Is this Peloton, they just executed badly and there's other companies that do well? Or, yeah, we're going to find some sort of hybrid version in the middle where, yeah, people are not as interested in spending $2,000-$3,000 on this big piece of equipment and lying in their home.
Yeah, it's a question that a lot of people have asked and we've never kind of personally said out there. So I think Peloton is a phenomenal company and I think they have an amazing brand and product. And I think that, you know, in reality, they drank their own Kool-Aid and they got excited about what they were doing and lost track of what they were building. Yes, some missteps there, but in reality, their revenue is great. Their user base is great. Their products are great.
Their retention as well.
Content is great. Yeah. They're a phenomenal company that made some very public, very poor mistakes around, obviously logistics and some of the things around their products and the consumer health issues that came from that. And it really isn't a matter of at-home fitness going away and connected fitness going away and the consumers not wanting this. It was just them kind of self-inflicted wounds, which is such a bummer because it's had a wave impact in the rest of the industry as well. So that goes to the next question, which is, you know, I think Peloton's an amazing company. I think at-home fitness is not going anywhere. It's always been a thing. There have always been devices where you look through Bowflex and Precore and iFit and others. And Peloton was just so public and such a brand that people were, you know, excited about and getting behind and representing and wearing their clothes and talking about it all day. So, and then with COVID, everyone being home and everyone being focused on fitness, it was this kind of lightning rod for a lot of good and bad things. But connected fitness as a whole, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's just a matter of a lot of times you have people come into the fitness wellness space that they have an interest in it, but they don't have experience in it. So they're like, oh, I want to build this connected device because I did this one workout and I liked it. And then they go and raise money and build it. That's not the answer sometimes. In our mind, it's, are you building a product that it can have sustainable fitness goals that can keep the consumer engaged and that isn't crazy expensive or something that is permanently installed or other things? I think that's the way that you look at this market. So I don't think it's going anywhere. You can look at the numbers. I mean, how many people are buying dumbbells and kettlebells, and Rogue as a business is, Rogue Fitness is absolutely phenomenal, crushing it and selling, whether it's squat racks and dumbbells and kettlebells and TRX stuff and all of that. There's just so much out there, but it's just a matter of the price point and the product, and can the consumers use this product and can it truly replace their fitness needs? And I think honestly, Peloton is going to need to acquire a few companies if they're going to compete over the next, you know, couple years and really build this full at-home fitness solution.
Do you see them getting acquired anytime soon? There's been a lot of talk about that.
You can't really make any predictions because who knows now? Look at what the investors just came out and said last week around how, you know, they want to completely change the model again, and you know, they want a new CEO again and all of that. So who knows what will happen? I would say if it were me, I definitely wouldn't sell. I would start acquiring and build a true fitness funnel from, you know, a very low cost app entry point for all of the basic fitness needs as their top of the line funnel. I would build that. I would lower their entry price for that, for the app, and really start to scale that up so that every single person that wants to be in fitness has the app. And then I would buy a few other connected products so that I have a full offering so that whether you need strength or you need running or you need rowing or you need the cycling, we have it. And then I would also scale up this kind of high touch future like coaching. They should probably buy Future if they had the cash, where you have this high end coaching so that you have a full kind of landscape of the customer, whether you want to pay $5, you want to pay $50, you want to pay $250, and you want different touch points on fitness, Peloton should offer it. And I don't know who else could do it, but I think if someone could build that full landscape of offerings, they could own at-home fitness completely.
Well, one thing we know is that Peloton has recently recycled, not recycled is the wrong word, but they've gone through CEOs a bit. There's a new CEO and down. Maybe he should be listening, or he should be talking to you, Anthony, because I think a lot of what you said, no, I completely agree. I think that the hot take on Peloton is that, as you said at the start, that the company is incredible. I mean, the product has the fact that it's risen as meteorically as it has goes to the fact that it's a good product at the core of it. The company had some execution risk. They essentially grew too fast. And I remember us watching the story from the outside, and we do this weekly news show about what's happening in sport tech. And it seemed like every week we were covering a story on Peloton. Either they were signing up with Adidas, they were talking to Beyonce and Jay-Z, they were doing something there in the music space. They were acquiring companies, they were acquiring wearable devices. That Peloton wanted to launch a wrist wearable or smartwatch or something. And they just seemed to be doing so much in so many spaces. Instead of doing what you just described, like where is our hydro, or where is our mirror device or whatever. But yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of room still to course correct, and best luck to the team that is in charge of that. All right, so we've covered a lot. I had to get your hot take on Peloton for a second. But moving on, coming back to you guys. All right, so we've talked a lot about what Fit Insider is up to, what the Fit Fund is going to get up to. What can we expect in the next few months or the next year or so? Like anything new, or just harder, better, faster, stronger?
Yeah, lots of new things coming. So first is we brought on a new partner that we'll be announcing soon that is joining Fit Insider and partnering with us on the capital side. They're an established fund. They're an amazing team. And that's kind of our go forward plan, is investing with them in honestly owning the investment and side of health, wellness, and fitness. And then on the Fit Insider platform side, massive improvements. You know, it's been Joe, myself, and one other person for pretty much the whole time. So everything you see that's written, produced, distributed, it's coming from a very, very small team. So now we just started expanding the team. We're hiring, and that with that comes more coverage, more news, more newsletters, more podcasts. We're going to start putting on events, going to launch a community. We have a jobs board now that's really popular. In the next few weeks, we're going to be launching a new version of that, which is much more improved features from all the stuff that the community's kind of said they wanted. All kinds of fun things coming down the pipeline on the product side and the platform side. And that's, we want to be, whether you want to find investors, not us, any investor, whether you want to hire, whether you want to find research, whether you want to find content, whether you want to listen to a founder tell their story and learn from them, whether you want to tell your story. We want to be the only place that you go if you work in health, wellness, and fitness.
Love it. Love the vision in different directions. As you first mentioned, the fund is going to have a strong partner, but Fit Insider, the solution itself will be richer. Great, man. All right, I'm going to go with my last question, which is actually my favorite question to ask. And usually it's around sports, but I'm sure you'll have your take. I know we're talking about fitness the whole time, but I'm sure you'll have your take on sports. So what has been your favorite sporting moment? This can be either something that you participated in yourself, or you just watched as a fan on TV or live. Where do you want to take us?
Oh, man. So I live in Pittsburgh. So we have the Steelers, the Penguins, and the Pirates. Steelers are great. Penguins are great. Pirates are not so great. My favorite kind of sporting event is, I think it was either 2017 or 2018, when the Penguins were in the Stanley Cup, I think it was finals, or at least the playoffs in the later rounds. We went and sat on the glass, and it was my first time at a hockey game. I was never really a hockey fan. I was always a football fan. And seeing the game and seeing the team, it was just absolutely the best live sport experience I've ever seen. And I've been hooked ever since. So it was sitting at PPG, seeing the Penguins and being right on the glass and seeing it to the point where, like, when the puck comes, you feel like it's going to hit you. So you have to move, type of thing. So awesome. And fell in love with hockey at that moment.
I have to say, I went for a hockey game for the first time. I was in New York. It was a Rangers game. I was way up there, way up in the nosebleeds. I really didn't know anything about the sport, but it is so engaging. It is so much fun to watch. And especially for you, when you're connected to the city in such a deep way, I'm sure that must have been an incredible experience to be on the ice. Very cool. So newfound hockey fans here.
Yeah, such a cool sport. And I definitely would never have expected myself to be one because I never skated or never played hockey, but such a cool experience. And outside of that, just obviously love the Steelers. You kind of have to if you grew up in a city like Pittsburgh.
I would recommend if you ever make your way to Berlin, which I'm sure you will at some point, come and check out the Ice Baden at the Mercedes Arena. It's very different watching hockey. I mean, I only watched the one game in the US, and I watched the Ice Baden Berlin's team a couple of times. It is a lot of fun, I will tell you that. Yeah, so come give them a look the next time you're around. All right, Anthony, man, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun, and we got through a lot in not too much time, I think. So I think we're done okay. Thanks for being on the show, man, and look forward to seeing all the cool stuff that you guys come up with.
Yeah, really appreciate you having me, and thanks for working with us on the report and a bunch of other stuff. It's been great to get to know you. Thank you.
Yeah, look forward to doing more stuff in the future as well. All right, guys, that is the wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. What do I want to talk about? We've just gone through all our latest round of reports, starting with Europe. We published North America, and actually on the day of recording, you'll hear this probably next week, but on the day of recording, we also published our Asia Pacific Sports Tech report. So we're done with our ecosystem reports for the start of the year. Go check out what's happening in Sports Tech, man. It is going nuts everywhere. And fitness tech is a topic that we cover in each of these reports, I think, because there's so much happening in all over the world. What else? Yeah, there'll be more to come. We'll have more reports coming out later in the year, but stay tuned. Keep track of us on our social channels and you'll find out all. All right, guys. See you in a couple of weeks. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.